Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we celebrate courage, determination, and the power of saying, why not today? I'm your host, Leslie Kane. Each episode, we dive into inspiring stories of individuals who have taken bold steps, faced their fears, and embraced the possibility of today. From entrepreneurs to artists, dreamers to doers, we explore the moments when they had enough and they said, enough waiting, why not today? Join me as we uncover the heartwarming, the audacious, and the transformative, whether it's pursuing a lifelong passion, overcoming obstacles, or simply choosing joy. Our guests share their journeys and inspire us all. I started this podcast in honor of my father, Patrick Kane, who often said, why not today? Remember, you're just one decision away from changing your life. And my guest today is Mary Latham, and she it's not a book yet, but I'm sure it will be, has a movement called More Good, which is, if you're watching the video, it's her t-shirt. And I first heard about Mary when I was reading Laura Carney's book, My Father's List, who has been a guest on the podcast. And I was reading, I'm like, I need to know her. And then I talked to Laura, and Laura's like, you need to know Mary. I mean, you need to talk to her. And we finally did connect. And I'm excited to have you on because you've done some really fun, cool things. And I always love the journey this podcast has taken me on and the connections between your mom and the march and just life. Lots of cool connections that I feel like the people that I'm meeting on this journey were meant to be in my life. So Mary, welcome to the Why Not Today podcast. And why don't you share a little bio on you, not your courage story, your life story, but the quick bio and a fun fact about you that nobody might know.
Thank you, Leslie. I'm excited to be here. I lost my mom in March of 2013, and I kind of used a conversation that we had towards the end of her life as a bit of a life raft for my personal life ever since. It was on the day of the Sandy Hook shooting, and there was obviously that tragedy. We were all pretty horrified to read about in the news, and an act of kindness happened to someone that I worked with that day. And it was just
Let's not get into that yet. I just want to know who you are.
Oh, like a 3-second bio?
Yeah, okay. Like who is Mary aside from More Good? And we'll talk about that whole story. But in the connection, coincidences is your mom actually passed away the same year my dad did. And she passed away on my birthday, which is the first. And then in 2013, and my dad passed away, or my birthday is March 1st. My dad passed away March 5th of 2013. So kind of interesting coincidence of dates. But yeah, tell us who you are and okay. A fun fact about you that has nothing to do with Morgan. Just get to know you.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then we'll talk about that.
Okay. So my name is Mary Latham. I am from Long Island, New York, and I'm a wedding photographer and a writer. And I am a person that believes in the good that's in the world and in every person that we meet. I think that everyone has a little bit of good in them. And sometimes it's easier to see than other people, but I think I'm in a constant search in my life for the good in every person I meet. And I have a fun fact of the fact that I can make my belly button in an innie and an outie.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting. I won't make you show it. But and I love that you're a wedding photographer and you've done all these things. So it's fun to see we have multiple hats and multiple sides to our life, don't we? Mm-hmm. So tell me, what does courage mean to you, Mary?
Courage to me means showing up. I think showing up in your own life, showing up in other people's lives, when they need it, whether it's family or friends or just noticing someone across the street that needs help getting across, just kind of constantly showing up when you should be. And I think that it's really hard sometimes, but I think that really defines your character, the way, you know, we can't really control what happens to us in life, but we can show what we do next and how we show up. And I think that's been something that I've practiced ever since losing my mom, is just how I'm going to show up in the world.
Yeah, love that. And it's fun to hear everybody's different courage stories, and they're all a little different. You know, and I told you earlier, I said, my brother is the only person that looked it up in the dictionary, but we all know what it means to us. So, all right. So let's go to your story. So More Good, which is a movement you've started, which I love. And there's lots of complexities and things you've done with that. But it all started, why don't you share where it started on the day of the Sandy Hook shooting? And
okay.
I love how you took something so terrible and were able to turn into something so good and not related. It's not that you're connected to it, but it was that pivotal thing. And you know what I found? That when people have that pivotal moment in your life, do you remember where you're sitting, what you're wearing, you know, the kind of day it was? We have those pivotal things in our life that make a life-changing moment. And we remember exactly where we were or what we were doing.
Yeah. And I think so many of them also come from a moment of, you know, dark. Like, I think that if I had just had that conversation with my mom that day and she went on to live and I, you know, was living my life and everything, I might have not done what I did. But because it came right before something so horrible, it was like you kind of clutch onto anything good or positive to keep carrying on.
Absolutely. So, why don't you start with how this started and the Starbucks and the Sandy Hook story.
So I worked at the continuing legal education in Manhattan in 2013, and I was working on the morning of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. And I had just gotten to work that morning. And after work, I was going to go to a family that I nannied for who had a six-year-old. And so I was reading the news and refreshing it. He was still an active shooter. And I was, as we all were, pretty horrified by everything. And as I was clicking and looking about the story, my coworker came in and he had a coffee from Starbucks with him. And he said, oh, you really should have come with me today. And I kind of ignored him and told him I couldn't afford it this week. And he said, no, it was free. And it kind of finally pulled me away. Like, I was just so hyper-focused on this tragedy. And I turned around. I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, yeah, there was a guy in earlier buying gift cards. And it was right around Christmas. So he was getting them as Christmas presents. And he bought an extra card at the end and told the barista to charge him $100 and run it out on all the people in line behind him. And my coworker was one of those people. And he had had a pretty rough year so far. He was a very positive person, but he had been having a rough time. And so to see him finally so happy again in that moment because of a moment of kindness from a total stranger was just so uplifting. And he walked away from my desk and I called my mom.
I was going to say, it's such a little thing, you know, a free coffee, you know, $5, $6, whatever it is.
$10 now at Starbucks.
$10, yes. But, you know, it's such a little thing that can make such a difference in somebody's day.
Oh, anyway,
as you.
Yeah.
And
exactly. Like, I wasn't even there. I never even got the coffee and it completely changed my life. But he told me the story. And when he walked away from my desk, I called my mom. And I quickly told her about it, but then I kind of hopped over to the shooting. We grew up without television in my house. So,
which should have been your fun fact.
That's true. You know, a lot of people know that one. So I tried to mix it up. Okay. But we did grow up without TV. And so my mom did not know the news yet at the time. And so I was telling her all the details and everything about the shooter, and he's still active, and how could he do this, and how am I going to babysit tonight for the six-year-old and not cry on her, and how is there so much bad in the world? And she kind of politely interrupted me and was like, Mary, you got to remember that other story you just told me. You know, there's always going to be tragedies and horrible things that will happen in life and in our own life and in the world, but there'll always be more good out there if you look for it. And that was kind of the conversation that I ended up clinging on to a few weeks later when she passed away from cancer. And it happened a lot quicker than we thought. We knew she was sick, but she went in for a procedure and something didn't go correctly. And so it was kind of the whole family assembling into a hospital waiting room and waiting a few days until she passed, and pretty much the worst week of my life. And just being in that room, which so many people have already been in, you know, it's such a hopeless feeling when you're in there. And so I just thought, wouldn't it be nice to have something positive in here, you know, that people could kind of look through to give them a little bit of hope during these dark times. And so I kind of created this journey around that thought of, you know, it had started as a little Facebook project with a friend.
Let's talk about the Facebook project, because that's kind of cool. Is it still active?
Well, it's molded into More Good now.
Okay. Tell us about that you started that after the Sandy Hook thing. And there was a story, wasn't there a story? I love everybody's stories. There was something your friend
Yeah. So
Did
right
it happen?
After, right after the conversation with my mom, I went to a happy hour with a friend of mine, and we were just talking, and I was telling her the coffee story and how, you know, I feel like these stories are out there. Like there's like all these moments of kindness that like we don't really get to hear about. It's just like always darkness on the news. And wouldn't it be nice to have a place to go and read them? And she was going through a pretty rough breakup at the time. And she was saying, yeah, like, I would love that. You know, I've always thought about that too. I always wanted to do something called, you know, gratitude with two T's, like attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of came up with this idea over drinks. Oh, we're going to call it the Gratitude Project with two T's. And we're going to ask people to send stories in. And right as we were coming up with this idea, my roommate texted me. And she said, you're not going to believe what happened last night, but she had been a bit overserved at the bar and left her phone in the cab when she was getting out, and the battery was dead. So the next guy that got in ended up charging it and then used Surrey to call the last contact, which was her father, who said, yeah, they live in 1425 York Avenue. And he dropped it off at the door.
Wow.
And it was like, you don't really hear those stories happening in New York City. So
yeah.
It was just like in that moment when we were creating this thought, to have that like land in our lap was just such a sign that like, this is a good idea. And, you know, the rest of the project and everything since then has been very challenging and beautiful and wonderful. But like in that moment for something to come through right away was really just the push we needed. So we started it as a Facebook page, and 11 days after the page launched was when my mom ended up in the hospital.
Okay. So yeah. So let's continue that part. I love the story that, you know, the hospital room and then how you turned it into more good.
Yeah. So, you know, I was in the hospital waiting room and I was not thinking about the Gratitude Project at all. I had created a separate email for me and my friend Laura that we would check the inbox and we would, you know, copy paste and post on Facebook. And I couldn't think about anything positive in those first few hours in the hospital. But by day two, I did need to tell my jobs that I wouldn't be in the rest of the week once we found out what was going on with my mom. And so when I opened up my personal email to tell them that, I had an email from someone who had sent me a story and they didn't know where to send it. So they had sent it to this email, and I read it. And it was a story from a girl who had lost both of her parents at that point. She was from Poland. She was friends with my sister and she didn't even know what was going on with us. She just wanted to share a story. And to read a story from someone that had gone through twice what I was about to go through, an only child, you know, most of her family's in Poland, like, and here she is focusing on this beautiful moment of kindness that someone had done for her, was like a little shred of hope in the waiting room that week. And I thought, what am I doing? Like, here I have this whole other inbox of people sending stories in, and we're just sitting around a hospital bed. And I should be reading them. So I read my family that story. And then I opened the inbox and started looking through the stories. And it just, that was kind of where the idea of the book was born, to collect stories and to put them in a book to donate to waiting rooms in hospitals across the United States. And at first, I didn't really have an exact plan. I knew I wanted to travel to do it, but I didn't have it exactly mapped out, no pun intended. But I did realized shortly after getting out of the hospital and going through everything with my mother that stories weren't coming in as much. Like, you know, with anything, any project, you have that wave of excitement in the beginning and, mm-hmm. and people are sharing and it's really rolling. And then there's kind of just, you hit a rut and you're not getting as much content or people aren't reaching out as much. And so instead of getting discouraged by that, I decided I was just going to go out there and find the stories myself. And so I kind of created this plan where I would tell people I wanted to highlight moments of human kindness across our country. And if they knew of any stories or any people that would let me crash on their couch or in their bedroom as I traveled through, let me know. And so I made a little video with my friend. I posted on Facebook. People started tagging people. And it kind of took off from there. And I got in my car in October of 2016. I was on the road for 3 years. And actually, wow. I took my mom's car. So I was the youngest of four children. So leaving New York City, I was the only kid without a car. So I got my mom's Subaru Outback, which was the car I took for my journey.
That's awesome. So you just went, just planned. Did you have a plan or you just got in the car?
Do any of us have a plan? I mean,
sometimes we do, and then it all gets messed up.
That's true. Well, it's fun to have a plan. And then things kind of work out the way they want to instead. But I had an idea, I'd say for sure, of what I wanted to accomplish. And it really, it morphed into so many other things than I thought it would be. But the mission was to hit every single state and to collect any moments of human kindness I could. And I thought they'd be more so stories of, you know, like the coffee guy and someone buying someone a coffee or buying some dinner once at a restaurant. But it kind of morphed into also getting to communities and having people reach out and say, oh, you really got to meet this kid, Ben. You know, there was this kid in West Springfield, Massachusetts, who had been diagnosed with cancer. And when he went into remission, his mom said, you know, how do you want to celebrate? We could, you know, go to Disney World, or, you know, she just giving him all these options of fun ways to celebrate. And he said, I think I just want to collect a bunch of toys and bring them back to the hospital to the kids that are still stuck there. And he was like 7 years old.
Yeah.
And
a friend of mine whose daughter, I think at 5 or 6, had leukemia. And she started a thing that, and she, when she was in the hospital, she had her red wagon, and she had people donate toys and she went and gave them to people. Kind of same story.
Oh, that's awesome. There's a really good movie, I think, called The Red Wagon, right? The Little Red Wagon?
Who is it? I don't know. Maybe that's where she got it from.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's.
Never know. But yeah.
But that's a, you should read that movie. But you should read
it. Okay. Look it up.
It was during Hurricane Katrina, and a little kid in Florida took whatever supplies he could in a little red wagon all the way to to Louisiana.
Wow.
I have still not watched it myself, but someone told me about it on my road trip.
Okay. We might have to watch that. Yay. So, all right. So you're on your road trip, the kid with the, that's so cool that, you know, people.
Yeah, so his name was Ben, and he dressed up like Captain America, and aww, he delivered hundreds of toys to Bay State Hospital in Massachusetts. And so then it became, you know, meeting him and meeting his family. Like, his mother was a single mother and he was one of two children, and to go into their home and not just be sitting in New York and have someone email a story of a picture of him dressed up cute and this is what he did. I was in their home behind closed doors, like really getting to know Ben and like the struggles they have as a family and his mother, and, you know, playing a game of tag outside before I left, but then like having to stop for a little while so he could catch his breath, like all of those little pieces that I would have never gotten if I was sitting behind a computer.
Right.
And just sharing the stories. I was really, you know, in the story now.
Wow. That's really cool.
But yeah, so it was an array of stories between people like Ben, people who lost a child and started scholarships, people that donated a kidney to a total stranger. And then those small moments, which are so important, because they're translatable, you know, like we always feel like an act of kindness has to be this huge thing. Like we donate a kidney or we buy the neighbor's kid a car for college. Like
right.
It can be these really small moments where we just pay attention to the need and then we act on that. And you know, one of my absolute favorite stories from the whole journey was a moment like that, where there was a woman working at a bank and she was having a really bad day and it was visible on her face. And a customer came in to take money out and looked at her and said, "Are you doing okay? Like, is there anything I can do for you?" And she was super embarrassed. She didn't know the woman. And so she said, "Oh no, you know, nothing, some M&Ms won't help when I get out of work later." And they laughed and the woman left. And then 30 minutes later, she returned and slid a bag of M&Ms under her window and walked away. She never saw her again. She's telling me this story 30 years later.
Wow.
She's told her kids and her grandkids. And it's just like, you never know, you know, there's been so many moments like that have probably happened in our life where someone pays a little bit of attention to us. But what made me really think about it was, in the beginning, I thought, oh, maybe she stubbed her toe that day or her boyfriend broke up with her. Like, why was she upset? But by the end of 3 years, and being in and out of all of these different people's lives and in their homes, everyone is going through something right now. And to like,
yes,
to know that it could have been that her uncle had died in a car crash or she was diagnosed with cancer, you know, like we're all carrying these really heavy traumas and events in our life. And so that's why these moments of kindness really stick out and become so clear when we're in that darkness.
Yeah, I'm so finding everything you're talking about is exactly what I'm seeing and finding with this podcast. Is although I'm not in person with a lot of people, I feel like I am walking into their story and finding stories behind stories. And just, and people are just referring me left and right, like, you got to meet this person, you got to meet this person. And so it's been really cool. But yeah, there is always the story behind the whole story. And we're having a, it's hard, life is hard. And there's a lot of stuff happening. And everybody, you know, we have the social media life that everybody sees, and it looks like everything's perfect, but it's not. And I was somebody talking to somebody yesterday and said, we got to be more curious and not judgmental. Like, mm-hmm. when somebody has having a bad day, not say, oh, they're just mean, but like, what's going on? You know, or just give smile back or compliment somebody. It's just, and it's all the little things. And I think that's what I found about the courage and why not today. It's not necessarily all the big things that is happening, but it's the little things that make a difference and people hear and give people permission and hope. I always talk about this often because I wear it a lot. I have a starfish necklace. And do you know the story of the starfish?
Love it. Yes. I love that. Yeah. You have a starfish necklace. That's such a good idea.
So I am. Yeah. And I talk about it all the time. And it's like that kid walking down the beach, throwing starfish in the ocean. And the man's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm saving the starfish. He's like, how could, there's thousands. How can you save it? And he's like, picked one up, threw the ocean. I saved that one. And so you never know how that one person that's going to listen to a podcast, listen to your story, did your gratitude, you buy Starbucks coffee, you give them M&Ms, how that one person, you can make a difference. And the movie that just came out, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's Ordinary Angel.
Ordinary Angel. I'm going to write it
down. It's in the movie theater. It's Hilary Swank. And this family, it's a whole side note, but you know, might as well share it here. Said it was going to be a conversation. This family, the wife dies of, I think, cancer young. And she has two, they had two young girls. The five-year-old needs a lung transplant. And Hilary Swank, the character, is a hairdresser, an alcoholic, gone out, totally wasted the night before. Goes to this convenience store to buy some more alcohol and sees the article in the paper about the funeral of the mom and the lung transplant and walks into the funeral and goes to it and then starts doing things to help this family. And it's a true story out of Kentucky, but just, and the starfish story they read and they reference a lot in that story. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's those little things that there is more good out there.
Yeah, there was, that just made me think of there was a guy in Ohio that I met who, he was just browsing Facebook before going to bed one night, and he was married. He had a 3-year-old son at the time, and he saw on Facebook, because of, I don't know if it was in his area or someone had shared it that was connected to someone else, but he had no connection to the man, but a man had, there was a picture of a man and his 3-year-old son, and he needed a kidney. And the guy browsing was just like, this could be me. Like, that could be me and my son. I could need this. And so he went and like got all the tests, which they literally give you a psych evaluation when you want to donate a kidney to a stranger, because they're like, you good?
What's wrong with you? Yeah.
and so they did that, and he ended up donating his kidney to him. And it was just that simple of a thought, like, just, this could be me. And if we just thought like that, you know.
And it's those, and it's also the random looking at Facebook before you go to bed one night, you know, the people you see, like, I mean, how I met you is through Laura. And I met Laura because I was watching CBS this morning on Father's Day. I never watched CBS this morning ever. And I can tell you exactly where I was, where I was sitting, what I was doing. And it's led me to so many connections.
Yeah.
That, you know, we need to pay attention. I think that's a big message, is instead of just going, just mindlessly living our life, to pay attention and look for the good and the things people are doing out there. There is more good. So, but I know it wasn't all good on your journey. It was hard, wasn't it? At sometimes.
Every day.
Every day. Okay.
But it was, I mean, you know, I was staying with strangers to finance it. So I was in and out of 154 homes over those 3 years. And so to walk in every night to, you know, or every couple nights to a new home, tell your story, hear their story, stay up late, because for them, it was only one night, for you, it was every night. Yeah. I just kind of chat and talk. about deep traumatic moments in the person's life. It was really heavy. It was heavy, and I'm not a licensed therapist, so I didn't really know how to separate a lot of the time. I carried a lot of those stories with me, and I still do. It's been a really hard time processing all of it, which is why writing the book has been rather challenging. But I do feel like I'm finally in a good place and flowing now. But it was definitely, you know, a lot of people would always ask if it was a healing journey. And I would kind of laugh because it didn't feel healing. But it broke me into a million more pieces that kind of, I always love that quote. That's like, you know, when you lose someone you love and it shatters your heart into a million pieces, it let all those cracks allow so much more light in. So it was such a bittersweet experience because I have all these amazing connections and stories and people that I have in my life now, because my mom died.
And yeah, so I was going to ask you if you were in touch with the people still.
Yeah. And actually I had, you know, one of the stories I collected was in California, and it was a family who lost their daughter. She was 16 years old, and she had gone over to a friend's on Christmas break, and they were drinking, and she got alcohol poisoning. And her friend didn't, like, her friend was drunk too, I guess, didn't realize. And she was just kind of propped her against the toilet, and she passed away. And, and it was horrible and tragic. And she didn't even really drink that much. She just never had drink before. And the mother goes around now to schools. I'm really sorry about that.
What? I didn't even hear.
Oh, you don't hear the siren?
Huh.
That's so funny because on my podcast thing, it says it's playing music, but the fire, fire alarm next door, which is like 100 feet away. I don't know how you did that. It's amazing. Well, good.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, sorry. Good. I can pick up right from that. So the mother who lost her daughter goes around to schools and she speaks on awareness, you know, alcohol awareness and informs students so that something like that won't happen to them. And you know, it was just one of the many stories where it's so inspiring. Like here you went, you know, for me, I lost my mom. I had an amazing relationship with her. She was the best person. And so to be able to kind of take her advice and go out there and look for good was, you know, while it wasn't easy, it was a beautiful mission. And so for this woman to have tragically lost her daughter and then to go into these schools and have to relive that nightmare just to educate and help others is so incredibly inspiring to me, and showing up, I mean, showing up to like the utmost. But she, I was writing about her the other day, and I was finally in California in my writing, which was kind of my halfway mark on my trip. And I just wanted to fact check something. So I looked up their website and I noticed that their daughter had written a letter a few, like 3 or 4 months before she passed away. She flew to New Zealand. And I don't know if it was a project for school or she was just a creative person, but she wrote a letter on the flight because it was so long that was titled "If the Plane Crashes." And so she wrote a letter to her loved ones, which was, yeah, it was insane. And it was such a beautiful letter. And she like called out like all of her close friends and her family and everything, like a little paragraph for each of them. So it was like, how beautiful for them to have this. But at the end of the letter, you know, she touches on a lot of different things that, I mean, I was sitting here writing yesterday and in like a really in a rut and like in a hard place. And I find this letter and I'm sitting there and I'm like crying on my computer reading this letter. And I messaged her parents and I said, you know, I just want you to know I'm writing about you guys today. And that while I'm sure every single day is extremely painful for you, she's still making an impact and affecting us. And I needed this letter so desperately today, and to find it was just so lucky. And so, and they wrote back, but it, so I definitely try to keep the connections going. That's with awesome. A lot of them. Some of the nonprofits I work with now, that I stayed connected with, but, yeah, it was, the journey was definitely, it was really heavy and emotional, but it was also quite a punch in the face of perspective.
Yeah. Seeing life, that story about the letter and the mom brought something else. First of all, the woman that, you know, so many people take the bad and make it good. Like Mothers Against Drunk Driving was a woman whose child was killed by a drunk driver. Like Laura, what she's done with advocacy about distracted driving. But Oprah Winfrey, I don't know, there's a book called, what is it? I don't know. It's a daily, like, simple acts of kindness kind of book. I'll have to look it up to see exactly what it is. But one chapter is on gratitude. Do you have it? Oh, I was going to say, you're gonna pull the book out.
No, the window was open. And
oh, it's Sarah, somebody. But
I do have an Oprah coffee table book, but I don't.
No, so this is a book by somebody else, Sarah somebody. I've got it, which I'll show you when we're done. And maybe note it in the show notes. But this one of the chapters is on gratitude. And Oprah found the book, started doing it, and she did several stories on gratitude in a gratitude journal. I don't know if you saw any of those things with your gratitude project, but there was a young girl that actually is in a Northern Virginia area that would do her gratitude journal every night. Well, unfortunately, she passed away. I'm not sure exactly how, but her parents took her gratitude journal and made laminated bookmarks that you could email the parents and they'd send you a set of them. And I ordered them. And this was years ago. And I still have these laminated bookmarks that have her information on her. And then it has on the back her gratitude journal for the day or whatever. And I still use them in bookmarks. I have a stack of them and I think about them often. And, you know, how many lives is it touched by the bookmarks? And Oprah talked about then, I guess, the bookmarks. So it's kind of cool how, you know, people do live on. And I think that's one of the things I'm doing with this podcast, my dad's legacy living on and his stories and his connections. And yeah, I love the more good. And I think we could talk forever about it. And we need to figure out a time to meet in person sometime.
Yeah.
Actually, Laura is coming down here to speak. I started a luncheon and she's going to be a guest speaker at our luncheon. So if you're ever in Northern Virginia, let me know.
That's awesome. I'm actually going to be in Virginia in April, but in Charlottesville. Right.
Okay. Well, I'm 2 hours from Charlottesville. Not that far. So yay. So how would you encourage somebody else to do something courageous? Go on a trip, look for the story, live their life.
Well, to look for the story, I think they should just be the story. Like, I feel like it's that kind of concept. If you are looking, you know, if you want light, be light. So I think that they can create their own story by going out and buying someone a cup of coffee today for the person in line behind them, or calling a relative or a friend they haven't talked to in a while and just checking them in with them, or sending them a text that they're thinking about them. I think that sometimes we're constantly looking for stuff that we could be doing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also, to go on a trip, you just have to go. I mean, I was terrified. I didn't really exactly have a plan. I mapped out, I really had just mapped out from a thing on Google that was the best route around the United States. And I printed it out and I put some tacks and post-its on it with people reaching out and connecting to me. And then I completely kind of went off. I mean, I used it as a basis, but I went off. He was doing it with landmarks. I was obviously not doing landmarks. But yeah, you just kind of have to start. And it's always going to be scary. There's always going to be something that comes up. There's always going to be a reason to push it to the next day or week or month or year, or I'll do this when I'm retired, or I'll do, and this is not a retirement gig. But you know, just we'll come up with a million excuses. So you really just have to do it.
Just start. Say, why not today, and do it.
Why not today?
Yes. So I always try to pinpoint back to my dad. Like, people are like, I never met your dad, but I like when we talk, find connections. So the first one is my dad always saw the good, and nothing was ever not figure outable. You know, it was like something happened. He's like, well, something good will come, and he would search for the good. The adventure of your trip. And you have to listen to my podcast episode I did last. It was, came out March 2nd, and I interviewed my mom. And one of the courageous stories I shared, which kind of dovetails with what you did, is when I was 16 years old, my parents bought a camper, a 30-foot RV, and we traveled all the way around the U.S. We didn't hit every state, but went to a lot. And I was 16, so I really didn't want to do it. But my dad took 5 weeks he worked for himself. And we'd stop and he'd literally get on a payphone and do work calls. But we did that adventure. And our guide was an old map and a camping guide. And we go, okay, where's the next campsite that had the most amenities, the pools and the fun things that we could all do? Because at that point there were five of us. My youngest sister, when they started on the trip, was 5 weeks old. I'm like, my mom's like, I haven't done anything courageous in my life. I'm like, you kidding me? That was pretty darn crazy and courageous.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's so true. Yeah, and I feel like your mom, for her to think like, I don't have a story or this or that, like I always felt like people were doing that on the journey too. Like they didn't feel their story was big enough and they were constantly comparing it to something else. But it's, she has been showing up in your life always. Like
Yeah.
that to me is such a,
And that's what I told her. I said, you're the most important person to interview. And we all have stories. And it's the little things, just like the more good stories, it's the why not today, it's the little things. It's some people, it's getting out of bed in the morning is hard for some people. And, all the little things that the
today, it's
little,
pouring rain.
yeah, the all the little courageous things that we do. And the good things we do, and it just adds up. And so we need to say, why not today do more good? How's that for a tagline? We'll switch it.
Yeah, and I think that we all have someone, in our life that really impacted us that we've lost.
Yeah.
And so at the very least, let's live our life for them because
Exactly.
they can't anymore. And so what are we going to do to honor the fact that we're still here and we can get stuff done?
Yeah. Last week I had a big birthday and I wasn't really excited about it because life has been hard recently. And I had to come to a realization like, I'm still here and I'm still kicking and I feel great. And you know what? I need to live my life to the fullest because there's some people that aren't in my life that haven't been able to and didn't make it as long as I have. So, yeah,
Yeah.
lots of lessons. So, thank you for your story and sharing it. I'm excited. I've got a couple of fun ideas I think I might do with your episode. But thank you for joining us, and thank you everybody for joining us on this inspiring journey. Remember, every day is an opportunity to take action, chase your dream, and make a difference. So why not today? Subscribe, like, share, follow the podcast. You can always find the podcast at whynottodaypodcast.com. We have a Facebook community now that's just the Why Not Today community. And remember, say why not today? You just never know when you can do some more good. So thank you, Mary, for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.